Good morning and welcome to the Daily Recollection. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. The final line of the daily recollection is recited while holding the key. The key is a circular medallion that hangs from the rosary, representing unity, totality, and wholeness. Within the circle is the wheel of Dharma, representing the Buddha's teachings, 8 spokes for the Eightfold Path, 4 triangles for the 4 Noble Truths, 3 dots for 3 jewels, and a lotus. The jewel is in the lotus is a famous Buddhist saying. It means that within each of us is an intrinsic purity which, untainted by the murky environment of our conditioning, flowers as we awaken. From I Know Why the Buddha Laughs, Stories from a Zen Monastery. As we recite these lines, we're recollecting that we hold in our hands, literally and figuratively, the key to awakening to our intrinsic purity. A spiritual practice gives us the wisdom of the teachings and a way to actualize them. But it is our willingness to practice the way that determines whether or not we will be free of suffering. This is an equal opportunity life. We each have all we need in each moment. We can choose to let go and be free. We can let go anytime we're willing. From the key, and the name of the key is willingness. Willingness, noun, defined in this practice as what's here when I don't want to. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, hi. It's Lucinda.
Hey, Lucinda. What are you seeing?
Hi, good morning. So when I practiced with this, it was such a moment because I thought, oh, you know, fun, interesting, I'll do that. And I start doing it. And as I do it, I find it's so interesting that what I'm willing to do, I do. And what I'm not willing to do, I don't do.
it's so straightforward and unnoticed.
It's like, am I willing to win the lottery? I thought to myself, and I went, no, I'm not willing to win the lottery. I don't want XYZ, my beliefs about what that would mean. It's just clear as day.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we say it in the key, I can't remember, but where we talk about little kids learning about I can't, I don't want to,
mm-hmm.
and how as adults we live in the what we learned as small children about that. So if I don't want to, I say I can't. And then
yes.
I can get focused there on whether I can or I can't and believing it and what it means about me, rather than going to this place that you notice, which is it's a little more direct than that.
Mm-hmm.
It has everything to do with what I'm willing for.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And I'm just beginning to see the subtle places when I apply that same thing to practice. About,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Oh,
yeah,
boy.
I can't tell you the number of people over the years who have tried to convince me that there are all kinds of things in practice that they just can't do. You know, from I can't stand the sound of my own voice to I just can't sit on the cushion. I just, yeah. And yet, if we apply what you noticed, then it becomes something very different and very grown up.
You know, too, I mean, like when I apply it to calling in, I do. It's almost like that's where I meet the subtle place with ego that doesn't want me to.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Uh-huh. That's it. Exactly. Whether you're going to go along with the I don't want to and not face the fact that your life is a result of going along with that rather than realizing, wait a minute, this is a matter of what I'm willing for.
Yeah.
So am I willing for freedom or am I really choosing, because this is where that word gets to come in, right? Am I really choosing to stay in this nobody wants to grow up place of relationship with ego?
It's just even just hearing you say that and all, I just feel so happy.
Me too, Lucinda.
It's to know that it's in my hand.
Yes, 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 it is in our hands. We have everything we need. We just need to, you hate to say do it, but we just need to say yes. We actually don't need to do anything. We just need to say yes, and the road will open before us.
Mm-hmm. That's so beautiful.
Yeah, it really is. And so powerful, and so simple, and really so easy.
Mm-hmm. Well, the saying yes is, it is easy. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, everything after that, we don't know, right?
Well, we just have to prove it to ourselves.
Thank
right.
you.
Well, have fun. Thank you.
Yes. Dasho.
Dasho.
Thanks, Lucinda. And Sherry, I just love that, you know, that play on words, right? Because we do hold the key when we say the recitation. It's
yes.
a literal realization that is in our hands. And
yes.
that beautiful place that you were pointing to where the I don't want to is the unwillingness. And what we're willing for is to recruit the willingness rather than the unwillingness to XYZ. Because that's the place of confusion, that I'm attempting to recruit unwillingness to do what I want to do rather than recruit willingness to
yes.
do what I want to do.
Right. Yes. Talking ego into this
that's
is
yes.
just never going to happen for us. And so as you pointed out and as Lucinda was pointing us to, when we bring it right down to what it is, well, okay, I don't want to call in. I don't want to put myself in the queue. I don't want to be vulnerable. I don't want to listen to the voices tell me I'm a fool for whatever it is that I said. Okay, then we just follow that up with, all right, so then that means I'm willing to continue to suffer, right?
Yeah.
When we phrase it that way, it's, well, wait a minute. wait a minute. Let's rethink this. Let's look at this again.
Mm-hmm. Because what I think you said this in group last night, because what we really have to surrender, what we to be willing for is just to surrender me, the I that doesn't
yes.
want to and doesn't feel like it. That's the recruiting
That's right.
Of the willingness, which is, it's just willingness. There's nothing there that doesn't want to in willingness.
Exactly.
It's so subtle, it's so hard, it's so mysterious to articulate, but we know the experience of we break through that and we put ourselves in the queue. We're recruiting a different force.
Yes, yes. One that is very powerful, and as was just pointed out, happy.
Mm-hmm. Happy, yeah. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Dan in Los Angeles.
Hey, Dan.
Hi. Boy, I'm just reeling here with all the teachings. Yeah, the I don't want to. Okay, you don't have to. Bye.
Yes, yes. You don't want to? Bye. It's such a moment of disidentification, right, Dan? Because it's really the disengagement from being that person.
Yeah, I used to think...
That person
well,
can do whatever they want, but what I'm identifying with is not that, right?
Yes. And doing the circle, getting very clear that the I want to, in quotes, is the I wants to, is it's almost like a stranger offering me candy. I mean, it's a pretty spooky picture, but it's going to take me away. Yeah, that candy looks good, but it's outside the circle. It's not a place I want to go. It's clearly not ego. Even when it looks so appealing, no, it's got that quality, that energy, that just keep give me what I want, seeing that most of the things that had been pleasurable were just giving into ego, and so it would shut up for a second, and getting to really see that down on the paper, you know, as tempting as it is, that's a circle. That's not the peace and the airiness and the lightness and the flowing I feel inside the circle.
Yes, and we have to get that, right, Dan? I mean, we really have to prove it, as Sherry said, prove it to ourselves that the fulfilling of what I want is really outside the circle. It's not actually what I want. And
it's a temporary hit.
It's a temporary hit that doesn't deliver the lightness, the airiness, whatever, the sense of fulfillment that is within the circle. But I have to give into it, within quotes, multiple times for me to realize that I don't want it.
That is not me. It's not me.
It's not me. It's not what I want. And therefore, I choose what's within the circle. And it is, you're right, it is kind of a creepy sense of okay, here's the temporary soft, so I'll shut up. It's almost like blackmail, right?
Yeah.
I make you feel really bad, but if you do what I tell you to do, you'll have a momentary sense of relief. And as we keep saying, we're not going after relief, we're going after transcendence. And so we step into the circle.
Yeah, it's just, I did not make the karma cards last week, but I heard the guidance that it is good to get it out of the head, and so I made some karma cards too. I hadn't really fully appreciated the physicality of it, to get it out onto the paper. The willingness, I don't know if this perturbs things, but I'm finding the willingness to not go with I want to.
Yes. Well, that you proved it to yourself, right, Dan? Because there was that place of, here's the exercise, make the karma cards. And there's a way in which you're outside the circle making the karma cards. And then you hear the guidance of the importance of making the circle, because at that level, there's a level of unwillingness to do something, right, to follow the guidance. And then you hear the inspiration, the guidance, and the willingness gets recruited. It's not so much about the physicality of making or not making the card, but we switched out of unwillingness to willingness. And that is the experience of the authenticity that we are. That's what gives us the real kick, right? We say it's the physicality of the karma cards, but I just switched from being in alignment to something that is unwillingness to something that is everything I am, and I feel the resonance of that.
Yes, the process. It's not whether I do it or not. It's where what I was with. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Dan.
You know, what's so powerful about what Dan was describing is, and that you were reflecting, that we get to that place where, for a long time, you know, if I eat that, I'll enjoy it, I'll feel good, it'll make me happy. And then we watch how I eat that, and then I don't. I do for a split second, and then I don't. And then I feel bad, and it's used against me, and I'm beaten up. And then I do that again. And I do it, and I do it, and I do it, until eventually I see it. And I can sit right there and say, yeah, I'll eat that, and it'll taste good for a few minutes, and then what'll follow is feeling bad and getting a beating and being told all of this stuff. So I don't want to do that. I don't want to. Not I'm a good person if I don't do it, a bad person if I do it, because that's what ego wants to make it, that self-hating process, but just, I don't want to do that. I don't want these short hits of something that ego, that feeds ego and leaves me feeling depleted. I don't want that. I want to live in fulfillment all the time. And ego can't deliver that.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
And this is Tony from Athens.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, Sherry.
What's going on?
Well, I'm sitting here. I'm holding on to my key in my right hand, phone in left hand. I like that expression, recruiting willingness, because there was a lot of reasons. You know, I worked with it yesterday, but, you know, there's so much more. There's all these reasons to support unwillingness to be in the queue, but my commitment is to be in the queue.
Yes.
So I'm here.
And you're willing to keep your commitment regardless.
Yes, exactly.
And not willing to entertain a conversation that talks you out of your commitment.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, because I'm a big fan of the Commitment Buddies program and have been from the beginning. And that really has, really is very supportive for willingness. Mm-hmm. And one of my, so many things to say, but yesterday I found myself in a place of unwillingness to do the assignment. The reading talks about a battle. So I was in this battle between willingness and unwillingness. There was, I want to do this, and I really want to do this. And then there was, oh, I'm really tired. I worked so hard. There was all this back and forth. And then I sat down and I listened to probably an hour of the key from the book, the downloaded book. So I listened to that, and then the willingness was coming back a little, and then I started doing assignment two because I was trying to do the circle, and it's kind of half-hearted. And then I did assignment two, and it was that Kenno Doko, that hen and the chicken. And I felt like I experienced where, and it almost makes me want to cry, but there was this, inside that cell, there was, I love practice. I really want to do this. But there was a little bit of pecking, but there, I wasn't breaking through. But then I got to, it's about love. I just have to accept where I am and love. And it's like it all melted, and I got enthusiastic and was able to do more of it. But it's like I didn't make myself be willing. I just did the things that I know, the way practice supports me, and there it was.
Yes, yes. And Tony, what it all comes down to is redirecting the attention. And that's what that battle is, right? Ego is just desperately trying to control the attention to focus on, I'm so tired, I don't want to, I don't feel like it, right? And there you are. On the other side of it, the practitioner with a commitment to waking up and ending suffering, and I see this arm wrestling for the attention, and what happens with that is that the attention, it's like moving a needle on a scale or whatever, right? It's just a little bit, and the little bit of movement encourages more movement. Right, so it drops in to listen to the key. You do that. You're willing to do what the guidance, the internal guidance that you receive, and that moves it a little. And pretty soon, it's all over on the willingness side. And here you are, and you're having a good time. You're no longer in that fight. And then life is life, because the only thing that ever makes life hard is ego. Ever. Oh, the only problems we have are ego. And so once that falls away, then it doesn't matter. You could do that exercise. You could go sit on your porch. You could, you could take a nap, whatever, because it's all coming from a place of love and here and this and now and no struggles with ego.
I love that. And I love that analogy of like that needle, like just we just, if we can just move the needle just a millimeter to the right.
That's right.
To the,
that's
right. The love side and the willingness side. Just do that much.
That's right.
And then,
that's
and,
right.
You know,
yeah, and really, then celebrate it. Notice it. Oh, that was great. Okay, it moves a little bit more. Moves a little bit more. And every time we feel that encouragement, that well-being, we turn our attention to that. The needle moves more until
mm-hmm.
finally it's just, there is no other side.
Yeah, yeah, and it's amazing how it seems so big and heavy and like it's
yeah.
going to be, you know, take a lot
yes.
to get over it. And then it really didn't take very much at all, which is, and felt so good, so good.
Yes, yeah, it doesn't take much. That's one of the big lies that we have to prove to ourselves is a lie. Right? Oh,
mm-hmm.
it's so hard. I just can't. And as soon as we say, yes, I can, I love you.
Yeah.
The needle is moving.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't want you to feel bad. I don't want you to feel stuck. I don't want you to be, what can I do? What can we do that would feel good? That would be taking care of you right now. You feel tired? Oh, well, let's, and the conversation has turned away from ego and to the mother chick, the mother and the baby chick, and all is well.
Exactly, exactly. Yes. Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you. This whole
you
day
are
is
so welcome.
Amazing. So thank
it's
you.
It's been okay, hasn't it?
Oh gosh. Life altering. Yes. So thank you
yeah.
so much.
Thank you, Tony. Go happy.
Thanks, Tony. And that's it really, right, Cherry, that the resistance melts as soon as you engage love.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing that hatefulness
nothing stands up.
It seems powerful, but as soon as there's just the glimpse of love, it just starts shrinking.
Mm-hmm. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Ashwini, this is Jen calling from Squim.
Hey, Jen.
so, yes, to what everyone's saying, excuse me, I have been having such a profound experience with that just this morning, actually, of that place. Sherry was just saying, it's all ego. You know, any problem we have, any suffering, it's all ego. And so as I was listening to the call, as I've been practicing with it over the last day or so, there's what it feels like is that Kanodoku image is such a good image for it, of just the willingness to be, I'm in the middle of it, whatever it is, and it's like, okay, this is ego. And to just stay there with the willingness and let love find me, essentially. And I just had this moment this morning of just one of those, listen to this, you know, this practice, this. And with each one, I wrote it in my circle, on my willingness mm-hmm. circle. And I just had this moment, literally just a moment. I'm just standing in the kitchen preparing my breakfast, and it shifted. Just boom.
Mm.
It just
so
completely opened. And it was like, just like everyone's describing, so happy, capital H happy. Nothing mm-hmm. has changed. Nothing has shifted.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't become the person I'm supposed to be. It's back to that, exactly like the reading says, back to the realization of what I am instead of
mm-hmm.
living in the illusion of what I'm not.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, it's a miraculous process. And if I may just highlight a process point that you made, which is, this is ego. This is ego. I'm staying with it in the disidentification from what I'm not. But you also
mm-hmm.
said, let the love find me, right? Which
mm-hmm.
which basically
mm-hmm.
is that redirect of attention to look for what we are. It doesn't seem that way. It doesn't seem accessible to me. It's easier to say, let the love find me, rather than
mm-hmm.
actually, what we're actually doing is to shift from the attention on what is not to recruiting the willingness to seeing what we are, for the barrier to basically break, right? It's the barrier to love, that lovely Rumi poem. All we're doing is dissolving, being open to the barriers to love dissolving.
And I think that's why, so in that place where, you know, whatever it is that feels so real, and so it feels compelling to like, oh no, why is that happening? And what am I doing? And what should I do? And how should I, you know, and it can even do that with, you know, what practice should I do? What, and there's that, instead of, it's like the, so in a way it is a not doing. It's a being willing not to engage in that process so that the attention can shift.
Yes. And again, that using that word, being willing not to engage in the process is recruiting willingness, right? We've switched the source of access to love and action.
Yet again,
may it be so, right? Because it's one shift, one moment, one shift, and then we're back in it, and then we keep going through that process.
Truly, truly. And in those moments, it's such a ever-expanding place. Mm-hmm. Because what, in my experience, Ashwini, when that happens, when that moment happened this morning, it's like every time that happens, that gets deeper and deeper and deeper. Mm-hmm. And what remains is, it's a funny, we often use this word on the other side of it, but almost like a residue of that remains. So if I'm in the dark room, if I'm identified with something, there's something of that profound disidentification that stays with me, that never gets lost. That is available
to me.
Your context shift. Yeah. So I'm with everyone else. Huge, huge gratitude for an extraordinary year of practice. Thank you.
Thanks, Jen.
So what we get to see in that conversation is that both experiences are here at exactly the same time. It seems like we go somewhere, but we actually don't go anywhere, right? It's what we're focused on. Are they faces or is it an urn? You know, those kinds of visual things, and it depends on how we're looking, what we see. But they're both there, right? So we can be looking at.
Right, Sherry?
Yes, exactly. We can be looking, and it's samsara. We can be looking, and it's nirvana. It doesn't change. How we see changes.
Looks like we can squeeze in one more caller, Sherry. It's the next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Oh, good morning. It's Marianne.
Good morning, Marianne. What are you seeing?
Well, what I see is that I used to have the door to willingness slammed shut. Like, I was not going to do whatever. And since I have learned to open the door, I cannot believe. Like, life presents something, and I go, okay, yes, maybe there's a little. Sometimes there might be a little hesitation, but then I go, I know that's just ego, and life is presenting this, and I am saying yes. And I have had, I don't know, it just brings a richer, more loving life.
Yes. And may I ask you about something with that before we go on?
Sure.
Because what comes up in people who have not had the experience you're describing is, well, but what if it's something awful? What if it's not life presenting it? What if it's ego and it's a big scam, Marianne? And you're going to say yes to it. Isn't that dangerous? Isn't it dangerous to just be willing for everything that seems to occur in your life?
But I don't think that's how I experience it. I think that it. Because ego will say, oh, that's awful, but it's ego's eyes looking at it. And when I have the experience, I see, well, it's something totally different than what ego was telling me.
That's it. That's exactly it. So what you're saying is that your experience is it's never dangerous to say yes to life.
No, and it's hard. I know maybe it's hard for people to get that, but having lived a life of saying no and it turning around and going, I am willing, whatever, and discovering, wow, this is a better life.
It really is. We can't lose, can we? Because even if it's something that would not have been my favorite, the thing I know is I'm going to learn something from it. I'm going to grow. I'm going to change. If I stay open-hearted and willing, I'm going to be transformed. This is what I'm going for. Not just having experiences that I'm trained to say, that's a good experience.
Yeah, I know that. I had just one come up recently where I went, life presented something, and I didn't see that one coming. And I went, okay, well, I see this as a growth opportunity. And so I am willing to just see how this goes. Mm-hmm. And just even that movement shifts how I approach something that might feel, feels threatening to ego. So yeah. I am aware that there's ego with it that, I don't know about this. And then there's this other part going, okay, yeah, well, I hear that, I see that, but I also know that, you know, there's an opportunity to learn something here, and I am going to be there and see what it is.
Yeah. And what the image I just had, Marianne, as you were describing that is, we're going along life, the path. We're walking the path of life, right? And it's authenticity and ego, right? And I just think it's all me. And so ego really knows how to play me, right? Because I don't know. It's not who I actually am. It's who I think I am. It's who I've been taught to believe I am. So when it's doing something or saying something, I think it's me, right? And then we practice, and we realize not all me's are created equal. And now you've come to this place where there's a fork in the road. And at that fork, ego actually goes down one side, and authenticity goes down another. And as we go along, those two become more and more distant from one another until, as you're describing, you can watch it come up, both of them. Well, I don't know. What about, I mean, this could be. And you realize, yeah, that's how ego talks. And then you look to authenticity, and the response is, yeah, well, this is what life is bringing, so it must be for me, something good for me in this. Yeah, I want to find out.
That just twigged what I was feeling earlier was just, yeah, when I discovered how to be willing, I got in touch with that authenticity. So I could see, wow, that I could really see that separate ego self, because authenticity is like
kind and like loving and eager and interested and willing and curious and not afraid. And
it's like being in a tight girdle and you take it off and you go, oh, this feels so much better. Why was I doing that?
Let's go with shoes, Marianne, so both genders can of all ages can go. All right.
Gosh, so.
Well, keep having fun.
I will. Bye-bye.
All right. Thanks, Marianne. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Marianne.
and I know we're at the end of the show, Sherry, but there's that, that the image that dropped in for me is the is that thing we say at the monastery. You can be happy or you could be unhappy, but you're going to take the garbage out. Because
that's
what
right.
we get to is it's going to go the way it's going to go, whether I say yes or no, whether I like it or not. I might as well go with the current than against it. That's the only difference between it. That's the only difference, because I either suffer or I don't suffer. The circumstances will be what they are.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. That's beautifully stated. That's exactly what it comes to. Mm-hmm. And what we're learning. And what
and
we're
what
learning
we're
to trust. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, here we go.
Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, everybody.
Go happy. Go happy.